Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes another one.
What's going on, folks?
People here, there, and everywhere, Welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I'm Tweety. Oh, I'm LJ. I don't know why I say that all the time. Anyway, let's get right to it. We wasn't going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, it was all right, man. Finished the season. Finished my little league basketball season up. We finished the season undefeated. So, yeah, I had a pretty good Saturday. Sunday started out pretty good. So, yeah, having a pretty good weekend.
And then
how about
speaking
yourself?
Of this weekend, it's all right. You know, I'm out here trying to play mom and dad right now. My wife out of town. She had to go home for an emergency. So,
yeah.
I'm out here struggling in these streets trying to play mom and dad, and I ain't very good at playing mom. I'm good at being dad, but I ain't good at being mom. Well, I would say I'm in the role as it pertains to what my wife does in our household, the role she plays in our household. I suck at doing what she does. I just gonna admit that off the top. I'm good at what I do though. Now what I bring
right.
to the table, I'm good at that. But what she brings to the table, hey, I can't hold a counter to her. She killing me in that category. But let's get to it. Great week of basketball. You know what? We'll save that for a second. Let's get to the NFL. Let's start off with the NFL. NFL free agency started. I think the new league year started on the 9th, and there was some moves that people expected, and there was
right.
a couple of surprise moves. The one move everybody expected, everybody pretty much expected the Browns to cut Johnny Manziel. Nobody cares for Johnny Manziel.
RG3
probably won't be in the NFL this year, anyways. RG3
yeah.
got cut by the Redskins. You know, no surprise
right.
there. Kirk Cousins got a 1-year contract with the Skins. No big surprise there.
Yeah.
I think we got the franchise tag. The two biggest surprises over the last 7 to 10 days in the NFL, DeMarco Murray got traded to the Titans.
Right, right.
Now, if DeMarco Murray was probably – if he's playing dominoes, when he signed with the Eagles, I bet it was somebody in his ear saying, you know how it is, you're playing domino. There's always somebody that says, when you call 15 or something, all money ain't good money.
Right,
and
right.
I bet he thought that at that point. I mean, not he thought that, but I'm sure somebody told him that hey, all money ain't good money. And because he went to Philadelphia and didn't do nothing, didn't do anything, didn't get the ball very much. Anyway, he's traded to the Titans now. Which I think will be good for him. Titans kind of run the style a little bit more conducive to his running style. And the good thing about going to the Titans, they got a young quarterback. And the best thing that you hear often, not just for a young quarterback, but for any quarterback, is to have a great running game. And it's even better when you have a young quarterback. Marcus Mariota got sacked quite a bit last year. He had some issues with his knee last year. So I'm sure that we'll see a heavy dose of DeMarco Murray going into this season. What impact do you expect DeMarco Murray to have on the Titans this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think the Titans kind of run a similar offense to the offense they was running in Oregon, which is sort of like the spread offense. Like I said, they go give the ball to running back a lot, but with DeMarco Murray, it's the way you give him the ball. I mean, you can't give him the ball going east and west. If they feature him the ball going north and south a lot, I think that you will see at least a productive year. You won't see nothing close to it. I think he can't go anywhere but up from the year he had in Philadelphia last year. But I don't think he's going to come anywhere close to the year that he had with the Cowboys, because I just think that was just a special year for him. Everything clicked, and he stayed healthy for the most part. And he actually wanted, it seemed like he wanted to do that. He wanted to be there. It's just now you just got to see how he clicks with Tennessee and how they try to use him as in the backfield. If they try to feature him as Eastern Ridge running back with the read outs from Marcus Mariota, then I think you're going to see the same running back you saw in Philadelphia.
Much remains to be seen about how they end up using him, especially when they drafted a running back. I don't think it was the past NFL draft. I believe it was the year before that they drafted the kid out of Washington, Bishop Thankey. Anyways, the other move that surprised probably everybody, and if anybody who paid attention to the NFL was Brock Osweiler signing with the Texans. Now, kudos to the Texans swooping in through the back door and getting him what could possibly turn into a big-time quarterback. He definitely played fairly good this past season. I mean, he wasn't like great, but it was kind of his first time as a starter in Denver. But they came in and gave him a huge contract, 4 years, $72 million. My thing with this, Kirk Cousins got to be solid. Kirk Cousins got to be solid. Kirk Cousins probably over in these streets like, I mean, here he gets 4 years, $72 million. I can't get more than a 1 year contract because they don't believe in me. I ain't showing them, you know. I mean, if I was, I mean, I imagine Kirk Cousins got to be thinking that.
He can, but it's
a long term contract.
That's just like the son. That's when the kid from that was the backup from Green Bay had one game, threw like five touchdown passes and kept getting paid by everybody. I mean, it's Brock Osweiler got paid on potential. I guess the Redskins, like with in his situation, he was trying to bargain with the team that got him here. Brock Osweiler, case devil just wasn't trying to hear it. It was like, hey, you give us what we offer you, or you go find somewhere else to play. Whereas when Kirk Cousins, he's kind of stuck there in Washington because, like you say, he hasn't really did much to make people say that, hey, I think you can change my franchise around. Neither has Brock Osweiler, but people have seen more of Kirk Cousins, and it seems like people have already put a label on Kirk Cousins as maybe a bus driver or maybe a good, maybe could potentially be better than average quarterback, whereas Brock Osweiler, you haven't really seen enough of him to really throw him in the trash or put him in a trophy case yet. And I think that's why he got paid.
This is the other thing coming out of this whole Brock Osweiler to the Texans thing. Two other things. Mark Sanchez, the Broncos traded for Mark Sanchez.
I'm not really sure
what that's about. I mean, maybe, I don't know if they just need bodies. But the other, I'm sure somebody going to call John Elway and be like, John Elway, what the hell are you doing? You done ran Peyton Manning out of town because you know it's over for him.
Mark Sanchez.
Well, not even that he signed Mark Sanchez, but before that, you ran Peyton Manning out of town. And then you ain't even signed his backup.
Wait, yeah. I mean, I like you say.
Seven games for you. What the hell are you doing?
The only thing I can say in that, I ain't even going to say in his defense, only logic I can think about it is saying that maybe they saw enough of him to say that maybe he's not the future of their franchise. And I don't know.
Okay,
how.
He's not the
maybe,
future.
I don't get
he,
it.
He may not be the future of the franchise. I mean, I can understand that, but okay, if he's not your quarterback of the future, then I'm thinking that you should at least go into, once the season's over, you should at least have some sort of plan. And it doesn't appear as though the Broncos have any sort of plan whatsoever as to what they were going to do once Peyton Manning retired. Because you had to, I mean, you couldn't be 100% certain that Peyton Manning was retiring. But to me, I would have gone into the offseason with the assumption that Peyton Manning was going to retire and planning towards that. Because even if he wasn't going to retire, Peyton Manning is probably not going to come back for the Broncos. He's making too much money, and he wasn't very good. Now, with that being said, Mark Sanchez may be better than what Peyton Manning was last year. Hey, we got a caller. Let me get this hotline blinging and see. Let's see if it's coming up. Caller, you on live. Talk that talk with Tweety and LJ. What's your name? Caller, you there?
Kyle.
And Roger.
Maybe they just wanted to listen.
I guess not. Yeah, maybe they just wanted to listen. But if you want, Carly, you can call back in. We'll try to get you in. But anyway, so John Elway, it didn't appear that he had a plan. And I'm interested to see what happens with their quarterback position, even though they did lose a few guys in free agency. Because they were a defensive team, you can make the argument that they're in a position to probably, you know, compete for a championship again this year if they can get decent quarterback play. I think that maybe the Broncos were not expecting Brock Osweiler to get an offer like he did. Because I'm not sure anybody was expecting that.
Right. Like I say, I can see that too. Like you don't throw that kind of money at somebody who's only started 7 games, and at least common sense will tell you that. But Houston was like, hey, we need a quarterback, and hey, we want him. Here you go. I think if I'm the Broncos, I do the same thing. I mean, if I lose a quarterback because somebody chooses to drastically overpay him, so be it. Like I guess I'll take my chances at hopefully finding somebody in the draft, late in the draft, or maybe in the second round, or maybe even, like you say, hoping Mark Sanchez can not screw up enough. Because like you say, they weren't a team that was depending on their offense to put up 40 points a game. So it really doesn't matter if Mark Sanchez can go every possession or not. It's about, can you not turn the ball over? Can you not get the ball to the other team enough to where they can beat our defense? That's really what it comes down to with the Broncos.
I think Brock Osweiler played well enough to earn a contract. That's me. That's the way I view it. I mean, he didn't play great. But he didn't play terrible. He was solid. And again, that was just his first time as a starter. He's got a huge arm. And I think that the Texans will find themselves rewarded because they paid the money to get what I think will end up being a franchise quarterback for them. And Texans got a great defense. They got a great receiver, one of the best in the game, DeAndre Hopkins. Arguably the best defensive player in the game, and J.J. Watt, maybe just one of the top players in general. So I think, you know, he put himself into a great situation. He was able to get paid, and he was able to go to a team that can compete right away.
Right.
Wow, sweet. We got another call. Let me see if we can get this one to work. Caller, you live on the air with Tweety and LJ.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, Mr. Radcliffe?
Ain't a whole lot. About the Osweiler. I agree to a certain extent. I feel like his height and size and arm strength are NFL caliber for any team as a starter. Franchise, I can't quite just go there yet. I feel like he has a lot to prove. Like, you hadn't had a whole lot of experience or film tape on him, and the fact that he did play with the best defense in the league this season, it kind of covered up and helped them a whole lot.
I mean, I definitely think that the defense helped him, and he hasn't quite proven that he's an actual franchise quarterback yet with his play on the field. But, I think I would pay him. I mean, if you look at it, there ain't too much else out there. at this point in time. You know, sometimes you get into situations with quarterbacks where it's like if you can't find a better option, you don't have a choice but to pay the guy. I mean, look at Ryan Tannehill in Miami.
Yeah, I said I kind of agree with. I wouldn't give. I'm not breaking the bank for Brock Osweiler at this moment because I'm in the mindset of, yeah, you got a lot to prove, and just because there's not a lot of talent out there, don't mean I'm fit to hinder my future because I'm limited this year at quarterback. Like you say, just because I think Denver is not in a situation as like a. Maybe a Dallas team or maybe a Green Bay would be if they needed a quarterback because Denver's defense heavy, defense strong. They were like Baltimore where they really just want their quarterback to not mess up the game so they can afford to not kind of go all in on the quarterback right now. And I think they did right by not breaking the bank for Brock Osweiler and seeing what they can get in the free agency or maybe even in the draft. I wouldn't have paid.
Ain't nothing in the draft. They ain't getting nothing in free agency. But only time will tell. I mean, you know, this season we'll find out how Brock Osweiler will turn out, whether the investment was good or not. Let's move on to what March is really all about when it comes to sports.
Right.
March Madness. College basketball. An amazing week of college basketball. I mean, this is one of the things that I think college basketball has by far over college football is that their championship time and all that is 10 times more exciting. You know, you get every year, it doesn't matter when, every year you get upset in these conference tournaments where top-seeded teams lose to not just teams that are lower seeded, but teams that are significantly lower seeded. Seton Hall won their conference, which I can't remember which conference they're in. I think it's the Big Ten. Seton Hall won their conference. There's buzzer beaters. They're creating moments that kids will remember forever. Even the kids who don't play a lot that are just sitting on the bench will remember forever. And every game counts. You know, that is the beauty of college basketball this time of year. Every game counts, whereas every game means something. I shouldn't say that just every game counts, but it means something. Because if you're the worst team in your conference, you still, at this point in time in the season, have a chance to win the national championship.
Right.
It may be far-fetched, but you have a chance to win a national championship, and we see it year after year in the NCAA tournament where a team that maybe the quality of it isn't as maybe during the season their team wasn't a high-quality team, but they play well, win their conference tournament, get on the road, now they win two or three games in the NCAA tournament. All of a sudden they're in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. It happens every year. You know, dreams can be made in March in basketball. I think that's one of the big things that they have over college football. I don't know if you've seen any other games this week, but just great games in general. As a matter of fact, right now, this Kentucky-Texas A&M game is outstanding. Kentucky's up by 4 right now with 10 seconds to go in overtime. But just an outstanding game. The North Carolina-Virginia game last night was an outstanding game. I think this game has been a little bit better because there's been more points scored. But this time of year, I like to watch college basketball because there's more ball movement. It's more of a team game than the NBA when, you know, you watch Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant just come down and play one-on-one ball, you know, 60% of the game. It's not always that exciting to watch this brand of basketball. Now, we got another caller. We got the hotline blinging today.
Yeah, I see.
Caller, you're on live with Tweety and LJ.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, caller, what's your name?
Damn, boy, you don't know your uncle's voice?
What's going on,
Curtis? Well, I figured you wouldn't have called. Ain't nobody talk about no screw-up Coach Bryant.
Right.
Oh, right.
I'm listening. Oh, don't
he
go there.
Don't
go there. We, I know y'all watched the game the other night when he schooled LeBron.
They still lost.
They lost, but he still schooled him.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not calling to discuss though because his legacy speaks for itself. So, you know, haters gonna be haters. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
What's been going on, Curtis, man?
Not much. I was calling as you both know, you two youngsters know that the NFL, NBA. It's all soft. It's entertainment now.
And right,
it's pretty boring. It's pretty boring because there's no physicality, if I can say that right. So, you know, it is what it is. You're getting your entertainment. You're signing these contracts that these guys hadn't even earned, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. Enjoy it because, it's not the same, man. It's not football. It's entertainment. When you can play football and you don't have pads in your thighs, oh, it's soft.
But I mean, I think the game, part of the reason the NFL has changed is because of the money that's involved.
Okay, but as a fan, you know, the money's not going in my pocket. I'm speaking for a fan point of view. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. We're getting caught up with these these guys throwing the ball 6,000-7,000, yards a year and all this, and we're getting excited about it. That's because it's catered to that. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what's going on. And then we get hyped, Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. Well, hell, you can't even hit Tom Brady. He's throwing the ball 60 times a game. Troy Aikman didn't do that. Then if they let him throw the ball 60, he'd have the same numbers. He's more accurate than Tom Brady.
Troy Aikman wasn't that good.
Are you serious?
He wasn't as good as Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
I hold Troy Aikman pretty responsible. When he broke his clavicle against the Broncos, I forget what year it was, and he's trying to run for a first down. And died head first, got his clavicle broke. Then he came back in the playoffs that year and fumbled a stick and snap when they ended up putting him in against the Lions. And then he ruined his own career being stupid trying to run. He got his head buffed by LeVar Arrington. I'm not saying that Troy Aikman wasn't good.
Are you serious?
I'm not saying Troy Aikman wasn't good. What I'm saying is when Emmitt and Michael Irvin left or started leaving, and it was just Troy Aikman now by himself, he was garbage. And then that's a true statement. He didn't do anything to elevate his team. You know,
they could have won three in a row.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when Troy Aikman was there by himself, when he was the only star left, when Michael Irvin had retired, and I think the Cowboys had already traded Emmitt had already left to go to Arizona.
It was the system that they was running, just like Tom Brady. He's in a system. He's in a system. Anytime you sit back there and you chunk the ball 60 times a game, you better have some high stats, man. Come on now.
Well,
When you're throwing 20 yards out to Michael Irvin, that's a quarterback. All he had to do was put his hands up. The ball was there. But when you're sitting back, you're throwing the ball 60 times a game, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, Drew Brees. Okay, look at the running back stats. There's not really running backs now, but then it was all about the running back and run the football, real grown man football. Now, you can go across the middle. When you went across the middle back then, if you touched the ball, the safety had two steps that he could come bring it. Now, you ain't got to worry about that. You got these little sticky-ass gloves. Okay. Everybody catching the ball with one hand. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. I'm going to tell you why it's soft. I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all, these young men don't even play Sandlock no more. that's telling you that it's soft. You young man don't even play Sandlot.
But that's true. Like the Sandlot football is kind of a lost art. But now,
but you can look pretty though.
The game is catered to more offense than anything else. Like it has gotten to the point to where you can just play just a big quarterback. If you're running quarterback, they allow you to get hit more often than, let's say, a pocket passer. But I mean, to say, first of all, Troy Aikman wasn't the last triple here. It was Emmitt Smith. And
Emmitt Smith came back after Troy Aikman, didn't he? I mean, he came back after Aikman retired out.
Nah, Emmitt was the last one because he was the one that was talking about he was playing like a diamond amongst the trash. Troy Aikman had already retired. He retired a few years after Michael Irvin, if I'm not mistaken, and then Emmitt was the last one. He left because we tried to get him to retire as a Cowboy, but he wanted to go play one more year in Arizona. Then he came back and retired. But, yeah, Emmitt was the last one here. But, it's the style, true, but every you got to have something to do it. I had a receiver catch the ball. You got to have the scheme that's going to allow you to do it. The Cowboys wasn't built like that. They still aren't built like that. And if Tony Romo have to go out there and throw the ball 60 times a game, the Cowboys going to go 4-12 again. That's just not the way the Cowboys are built. Some teams are built like that. It's just not. You just can't contribute it to the rules and the style of the game. It's just the way the team is built these days. Dan Marino did the same thing back in the day, and he put up pounds of numbers that are just now being taken. But nobody called him a system quarterback. People say he was one of the greatest to ever play it. It's just how the team is built, man. It's not an age thing. It's not an era thing. It's about how your coach chooses to play the game. Run and shoot, same thing as the West Coast offense. All this stuff is just how you see the thing, how you see the game, how you feel like the game should be played by your team, by your talent. That's it.
Yeah, I think it's an era thing. You know, we talked about this last week when it came to the NBA, because you know, as we were talking about Steph Curry and a lot of the retired NBA, I don't want to say a lot, they were retired NBA players, Oscar Robertson, Gary Payton, Isaiah Thomas, you know, all time great. Talking about how NBA had gotten solved, guys don't play defense, et cetera, et cetera. And I think different eras, the emphasis is on different things in different eras. And I think as sports go through, and especially as they make more money, people, you know, they want to see a good, clean product. And a lot of these leagues are star-driven leagues. You know, you want to see your favorite player have a great game. It's cool that Terrence Williams has a good game, but it's better for the NFL if Dez Bryant has a good game.
True.
You know what I mean? Because kids will buy Dez Bryant jerseys. No disrespect to Terrence Williams, but there's fewer people who want to buy a Terrence Williams jersey than there are who want to buy a Dez Bryant jersey. Now, if Terrence Williams were to become a star, that'd be totally different. But, you know, it's a star-driven league, and I think player safety because of in all sports, you know, because of the amount, you know, the lawsuits and stuff like that, that not only are coming against professional sports, but I was reading an article the other day. A parent sued Pop Warner and was awarded some money because her son played Pop Warner football and they didn't want – and. He's like 20-some-odd years old, and they think he got CTE, and they didn't warn her about the dangers of football or something like that. You know, it's just absolute tomfoolery, in my opinion.
Mm.
But, you know, so I think the game is going to continue to go that way, you know, because you're seeing stuff like that. And because, you know, I think they, especially in the NFL, they want to have a future for the game. And if they don't make it safer, as they continue to go, I think they fear that there will be fewer parents that allow their kids to play because if you look across the board, the participation in football at youth level has been steadily declining over the last few years. But we're running out of time. Thanks for all the callers calling in today. I don't think we got to all of them. We tried, but we got 15 seconds. Thank y'all for tuning in again. My English is terrible.
Hey, I appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Appreciate the callers. keep calling in, man. Keep supporting the show, man. We thank y'all for that.
Southside, baby. Oak Cliff.
Peace.